I was home at my parents' house like a week ago, and I come home and my mom's in the backyard putting tiling into like the wall of their house. And you know what I thought? I was like, this is what happens when there's no, like, all the illegals are out of the country.
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask the opposite race, but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice.
Where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm real deal Phil fucking Duckett.
We got Joe, the Muscle Russell, on the ones and twos, spinning the dials, switching the knobs behind the glass. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, hello. This is Ronald Reagan.
I'm
out of here.
They don't all hit.
I'm out of here. They don't all hit. And if it is Ronald Reagan, I'm out. The war on drugs killed our community.
And you were on a roll. You had Cosby.
Macho Man.
Yeah, Macho Man. You had Rush Limbaugh, the Maharaj.
Yeah, you're going to need to work on the impressions.
Well.
This also sounds like old Reagan.
Well, I don't know.
Is that what Ronald Reagan sounded like?
When he almost died, like at the very end.
Oh.
Maybe. He was an actor.
I heard he was like John Wayne. Like he was an actor,
as,
like
a, as a level of actor, wasn't he? He was the Gipper in Win One for the Gipper, but that wasn't the main character. He was like the sick guy in the bed the whole time. So maybe that is what he sounded like.
Oh, okay.
He was like, no, he wasn't even like a. I don't think he was an A-list actor.
Oh,
I think he was like a
mid-level. Like Schwarzenegger becoming governor.
No, he was like I think he was like a working actor. Like if
well,
know,
actually, Phil
Philip
Ronald
Seymour
Reagan
Hoffman.
Became the governor of California. He was an
yeah,
actor
he was our governor
became,
before president.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the launch pad. You know what? I'm going to say something. Let's change the rules. Why can't Arnold be president? I love Arnold.
He's not natural born.
I know, but screw it. But then Musk would run. That'd be the issue. Musk versus Arnold? I'd take it. Bring it on.
I don't know. I don't like that game.
You got to put the subtitles on.
Yeah. For everybody.
Wouldn't understand shit they were saying.
California. Both of their parents are Nazis.
What were they?
Schwarzenegger's dad is a Nazi. And Musk's grandparents were Nazis. Yeah. That would be wild.
So America would love them.
If they ran against each other. Yeah. But Schwarzenegger's clearly not a Nazi.
Is he?
No, he's a good man.
It's in him.
Yeah, but yeah, he's a good... He was my governor when I was living out there.
And y'all were like... That was like when business was booming, huh?
I thought he was a great governor. I remember he had... I went to his rally downtown one time in Sacramento. And he had Twisted Sister play. The band, because his theme song was "We're Not Gonna Take It."
We're not gonna take it.
Yeah. So he had that band. It's dudes who dress up like women. It was very progressive, actually, for the moment, right?
Wow,
that's Twisted Sister. They were like an '80s cross-dressing heavy metal band, and he had them out there on the lawn of the state capitol. And it was so cool because he would, you know, how people say like when they're running for president, they're like, "When I get to Washington, we're gonna do this and that and that." They use Washington as a term for the United States.
Yeah.
He used Sacramento. So he's like, when I get to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. And we were like, yeah! No one ever said Sacramento that much like in our lives.
Wow.
So we're like...
Arnie. Now, I mean, I love him as an actor. I don't really know any of his policies, but they seem like California did
he
well.
He was a centrist a Republican. He was a Republican.
Centrist?
He was a Republican who was pretty much down the middle. He just ran as a Republican.
Oh, but he was kind of liberal.
Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was just in
what's
the middle.
Funny is he's used the phrase, I'm gonna pump you up, but that's an SNL parody of him.
Is it? They came up with
two,
it?
Yeah.
He stole it from him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he used it a lot.
You know those guys? Hans and Franz?
Oh, Dana, from SNL, though.
Yeah. Dana Carvey.
Okay.
And,
okay. That was, so he never said it was a parody, and then he took, adopted it.
It just became like what people thought. It was, Arnold
I always
said.
Thought he really said, I'm going to pump you up. They said it in, heavyweights? No, Little Giants.
Yeah. Hans and Franz was that.
I did not know that.
It's just like how.
So Hans and Franz, it would be like if George Bush Jr. started saying strategery.
Yeah. Well, actually, George Bush Sr. never said, not going to do it. He never said, he never did that.
It's
all Dana Carvey.
Well, he was Hans and Franz also.
Yes.
Not going to do it. Oh,
Kevin Nealand.
God. So he should be running for president.
Can I tell you something? I was home at my parents' house like a week ago, and I come home and my mom's in the backyard putting tiling into like the wall of their house. And you know what I thought? I was like, This is what happens when there's no, like, all the illegals are out of the country.
My mom's doing manual labor.
Suburban white grandmas.
Javier got sent back.
Suburban white grandmas are now doing their own tiling.
You know they're not all illegal.
She's
they
never done tiling.
They could have found somebody. She was like, I'll do it.
I told her that, and she was like, "You're not kidding." She's like, "All my friends, Barbara and Susan."
She lost her nanny.
Everybody's doing their own. Yeah, they're raking their own yards. It's a crisis out there in suburban America.
Terrified to come out in the daytime.
Terrified.
That's what happens when you get rid of all the illegals.
That's what happens. I literally, Myrna's doing, putting caulk into a tile like on the wall. I'm like, you've never done this in your life. She's like, I had to watch YouTube.
Because all the illegals are going. It's crazy.
She didn't know what was going
on. She ain't lying. I ain't seen a house been built in months.
Nothing. The economy's come to a standstill.
Oh, my God.
And then I read that in the farmers, this thing where they're out there, like, picking their own
cotton,
the strawberries and all that stuff in California.
I bet.
And they're like, literally, no one, the people who are around are hiding. Like, they don't, they're like, if I come to work, I'm a sitting duck.
Yeah, they're going to come check the field. Yeah.
Yeah. So just no one.
So when I worked at this last job before I quit, when Trump first got in the first 100 days, like the beginning, all of our Spanish cleaners didn't show up. They were like, we're protesting. But I was like, oh, protesting. That was like, y'all don't want to get picked up.
Yeah.
Because I know my boy, he was like, he got here in America from a coyote. I was like, really? I was like, I did not. He was dead serious. He was like a coyote.
Wait, but you realize it's not a real coyote, right?
It was Wile E. Coyote.
Coyote is the term they use to mean a smuggler.
Oh, I thought he followed a coyote.
Because I know a comedian. He thought he followed a coyote?
Yeah, that was following the stars.
Like it was a Navajo something?
Yeah, like, I thought he was like the wolf whisperer.
No, there's a comedian in New York. I'm not going to say his name because I don't know his legal status. I'll tell you guys
off air. Well, if he used a coyote, then
he's told me in the past he came here with a coyote when he was a kid.
He was on our podcast.
He hasn't been on our podcast. Oh. No. He was on my previous podcast. But you guys all know him. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But he...
Wilfred Padua?
No. He's from the Philippines. He didn't come on a boat with a coyote.
Wilfred Padua?
No! This guy came up from Latin America. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But he said him and his family, when he was a kid, had to come through a coyote, which means a smuggler. You pay a bunch of money. It's wildly dangerous because once you pay him the money...
I realized I was fucking with you. I know what a coyote is.
Oh, you didn't know? Okay. I was trying to figure it out.
I was like, the way you were explaining, I was like, you do know I was playing around, right? I didn't think Wiley fucking...
I didn't know you were doing a bit.
Jesus Christ. Okay. That's ridiculous.
Anyway, the coyotes, I think, are out of work.
Probably. Well, they still have sex trafficking.
Yeah.
They're always got some money out there now.
They'll always be that.
Cocaine.
Where was that? Atlanta Airport yesterday. And this just jolly voice came over to the intercom. And the guy was like, hey, everybody, welcome to the Atlanta airport. Do us a favor. If you see anybody out there who might be sex trafficking, let us know.
Let me tell you, Atlanta airport, Atlanta airport, because I lived in Atlanta, my sister lives there. That is one of the few airports in the world, I tell you, where you literally need to get there 2 hours before your flight. It is that busy.
It was a mess.
It is like, and when I'm South Carolina, I mean, I literally say get there too. I'm getting there like 45 minutes before. And I'm like, I get straight through.
Yeah.
Even LaGuardia, unless it's Spirit.
Oh, it's good.
You know, you're fine. Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta, you need to be there 2 hours. I have come so close to missing flights on some bullshit. It is that many people.
It's stuck there for 6 hours.
And not to mention, even when you get there, it's not even the lines. You got to take the subway to whatever terminal you're in. That can take like 30 fucking minutes.
No, connecting.
Yeah.
You connect. They go, you've landed at Terminal B. Your next flight in 30 minutes is at Terminal F.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I get there? They go, oh, there's a train outside.
Train right there.
Now all of a sudden there's a conductor involved.
Yeah, you can walk. I've literally sprinted it. I'm talking winded. Like, I was like, I just ran a mile easily.
Yeah.
Moving.
Wait, a train?
Yeah, it's a train in the airport.
Place stinks.
Yeah.
Don't go to the Atlanta airport. This is going to be a new segment. I'm just like trashing businesses.
Airports.
And apparently it's the number one sex trafficking place. I never heard that just over an intercom.
It's a pretty big hub because you got Miami. Everything stops in Atlanta.
I guess so. Yeah. Should we get to the questions?
We should.
All right. We got a lot. Why not? Let's get right to it. We'll be right back, everybody, with your... Wait, no, Patreon. We didn't promote our Patreon. Let's do that. Patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice. We're almost there. Once we get to $250, we're taking Phil to a punk rock concert.
I'm starting to think it'll never happen, so y'all let me know.
It's going to be happening. It's happening soon. We're actually... We're at like 180, 190. Well, I don't even know where we're at now, because I don't know when this comes out. But as of recording, we're at 180, which means it's like seven more people put in 10 bucks. Or three and a half of you put in 20 and we're there.
Literally, don't smoke weed for one day.
And all it is per month.
I'm on day 28, no weed.
Are you?
Yeah, 28
Good
days.
For you.
It's wild.
I knew something was different. You're also kind of like, you're working out?
I'm working out. Yeah, no weed. I mean, I'm going to see how long. I was trying to go to 420.
Drinking like a fish, though, but besides that.
Thanks, Turner. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day. All right, get level. Can we take it one day at a time?
I'm drinking too.
That a boy, Joe.
He's drinking.
So I did that bullshit Ronald Reagan at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do Cosby again.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Cosby.
I don't know.
Cosby was the best one you've done.
Rush Limbaugh had like a 4-week run.
Yeah, that's very true. But Cosby has such a negative connotation with
That's him. True. Even worse than Rush.
I left my drink around him though. It was fun.
You met Cosby?
No, I'm talking Joe.
Oh, with Joe. Oh, yeah. All right, patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice, everybody. And we're doing a live show May 22nd at New York Comedy Club. Get your tickets to that. If you sign up for Patreon, it's $5. That's the cheapest you can get in for. $5 to join Patreon, and you get in for free to the show, which is $25 to $35 per ticket.
Nice.
So it's a good deal. We'll be right back with your Black and White Advice questions and answers.
Ram trucks have always powered American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer, cash incentives, or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details, because nothing stops America and nothing stops Ram. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Rams for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/25. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout-out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
All right, we're back for the Black and White Advice questions and answers. The first question comes from Stacy. No, let's do Eddie in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
What's up, Tar Heel?
He says, I'm in college at UNC.
So my daddy went. I'm a big Tar Heel. I love him.
I'm thinking of getting my first tattoo, but I don't want it to be a cliche. What are the types of tattoos that white people get? And I'm also curious, what are the typical ones that black people get? I guess he's probably white, but you can't really tell.
There's really no typical tattoos.
There's white people just tattoos bad for sure.
What are the white people tattoos?
Tramp stamp.
Yeah. I know plenty of black women.
Black people get that too?
Black women, not
okay.
Men.
Well, yeah. Well,
I think it's just a woman thing.
If a man gets it.
Oh. Why? Who's going to see that?
The male tramp stamp quite the
It's like, who's
statement.
Holding your waist? Yeah. No, black people tattoos.
What about the tribal tattoos?
Praying hands.
Praying
black
hands.
People always got.
Oh.
I have open hands. I don't have praying hands. I didn't want, but I have open God's hands.
Okay,
so it's still the same thing.
So religious base.
Religious base is always going to be. But I know white dudes with crosses and stuff. But the praying hands is a pretty black thing for sure.
White guys do the used to be barbed wire.
The barbed wire. The stone
the
cold steel. But yeah,
to show your guns off.
The barbed wire
or like the Native American tribal sort of thing.
White people get that.
Yeah,
which is so wild.
They don't know what
considering they sent them to the rest.
Oh, yeah. They have no idea what tribe they're referring to.
A white man with a dream catcher. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I would say black people tattoo praying hands, teardrop.
Ooh. Well, that does that mean you killed somebody?
Depends on if it's filled in or not. Open means you killed somebody. Closed teardrop means you lost somebody. We can do that.
Oh,
check,
see, I didn't know that. I thought it all just meant you.
But the thing
somebody.
Is, it's not just black because I've seen Mexican. It's gang related.
Okay,
so it's a gang. With whatever, if you're in a gang, you have
white guy with a teardrop will probably murder you and your whole family.
First of all, don't play with him because you don't.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm telling you, the two signs of don't fuck with a white man with a teardrop and a white man with a cauliflower ear. A white man with a cauliflower ear scares the fuck out. Don't even talk to him.
Yeah.
Because he does this.
He's a professional fighter.
He does this, all right? Yeah. He don't give a fuck about nothing. Yeah, cauliflower ear is like a telltale sign of badass.
Yeah.
I feel like black people have a lot of names of people.
Okay.
Or names, like a portrait.
Names or baby footprints. Their kids' footprints.
Oh, that's a big one?
That's a pretty big one. That's ghetto.
Here's a white woman you should never date. The one who has a tattoo that says, only God can judge me.
That, first of all, yeah. That white means woman you're
off the register.
Yeah. But or a white woman with a name tatted. Because you don't see
just
that.
Some other guy's name.
Name or her kids. If their name's on her, either her kids are mixed or her baby daddy's black. Something, I mean, like, it's like one of them. It's a guarantee. Because that's just not one you see on white. When you see them, like, oh, she knows black.
What's the worst tattoo you've ever seen?
Any cheap one?
I remember. Cheap, do you remember Byron Scott? Byron Scott.
My tattoo. I got done my first tattoo.
What is it?
It's my initials. I got done in my garage with a sewing needle and a toothbrush.
You got a prison tattoo in your own garage?
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let me get one. So when I was in community college, this guy was like, I know how to tattoo. And he came over.
A community college tattoo?
Yeah. And I literally, the thing is, it looks 10 times better than it did. And it still looks like shit because I went to a tattoo shop and had them go over it because it was really, really
did you get like hepatitis also?
No, it was a fresh needle I got from my mom's sewing kit. Yeah.
And he dip, what do? They dip it in ink? I don't have any tattoos.
Yeah, you dip it in ink. But and then he made a tattoo gun out of a PlayStation controller.
This is a prison tat?
Yeah, it was a prison tat.
Jesus.
That was my first
Why
tattoo.
Didn't you go?
My parents wouldn't let me.
Yeah, but they let you in the garage.
I lived there.
No, but I mean, what do you mean not? Like, how much? You mean you just didn't have the money to go somewhere
and you
have
to be
it?
18 to get tattooed. I was 17.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, okay, you have to be 18 to get tattooed.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so he was like, I can give you a tat. And my parents already said no, not till you're out of our house. My parents didn't allow piercings or tattoos, so I left their house. That was like a rule.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, you can come over and do it.
There's a female comic we both know, and I've seen it. This isn't the worst tattoo, but it's the wildest tattoo. She's got a tattoo of a rat, and it's crawling towards her vagina, so it's like right near her. And then on the other side is a skeleton rat that's coming out of it.
Oh, gross.
Ugh. Ugh. I mean, listen, I'm sure she's a sweetheart.
I bet.
I don't want to offend. You say I know the person.
I've seen a girl with a rough tattoo look. That had a tattoo on her pelvis that said, finish here.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Lord.
Lord.
I was going to say, remember Dennis Scott, the basketball player, had his own face tattooed on his arm?
I didn't know that.
You remember he played for the Magic, the Orlando Magic, in the 90s with Shaq and everything?
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know
he had his own face. To me, that was the worst, but I hadn't thought of the finish here option.
There's so many.
That's much worse.
Yeah. Another ghetto one is the butterfly effect. Where like strippers get a butterfly tattooed on their ass when they clap, it looks like it's flapping.
Oh wow!
I've seen that like a lot. That's pretty.
There's a lot of women now doing the almost like the cleavage tattoo.
Well, sternum right here in the middle. That's or like right under here. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a rough. I don't. That's a rough look.
Yeah, it depends on how hot she is. Rihanna has it.
I guess so. Does everything?
Yeah, it's Rihanna. Rihanna has it. It's not trash.
So much of life depends on how hot you are.
Of it.
Like there's
and
always,
I don't hate tramp stamps. It's like a bullseye.
Yeah. Well, you know when Halle Berry got had short hair?
Yeah. Oh, do I?
And so then everyone thought, oh, if I get short hair,
you have to have the
I'll
face
look
for
like
it.
Halle Berry. Yeah. It's like, no, first you have to look right. like Halle
and
Berry.
And then you got these
Halle Berry has is good looking despite her
You
haircut.
Have to have the right jawline, right face. And then, yeah. you got these obese women look like Mr. Potato Head with a short haircut.
Exactly.
And I was like, no, fuck no.
That's my point.
Yeah, you can't do it. Every hairstyle's not for everybody.
Don't fall for it just because a supermodel or a famous person.
But that's literally how every trend starts. A famous person doesn't like, oh, I love that on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Deborah.
No. You got to do something like if Hillary Clinton can make a haircut look good, then you probably got a good shot at it too. And you know what I mean?
But see, Hillary keeps it conservative. She knows what she's good at.
She has that. But you should be taking your style advice from someone uglier than you.
Is that
not better looking than you? Because if an uglier person can look better,
I'll look better than her.
Even better.
I think that's a great rule of thumb.
That's a rule of thumb. Next question?
Yeah.
Wait, one more thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever remember seeing someone with like a, back in the 90s, like a Tasmanian devil tattoo?
Yes.
Taz was huge.
Taz was huge.
Because you remember the t-shirt? You remember the t-shirts with Bugs Bunny and Taz sagging with the backwards hat on the
Yes.
T-shirt? That was, they have them. They're like fucking $400 now.
No.
But back in the 90s, those were the cool, I had one and I was like, I would love to have one again. And they're making the vintage tees. But they're like $400.
Who was that alien? Who was that alien dude with like the
Marvin
Roman
the Martian?
Marvin the Martian.
He was everywhere too.
Wait, not only is they $400, but you're buying some other guy's old T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's like a used shirt.
Yeah. I mean, they're making them new again, but they're like vintage style. But that's what the new ones are, like $400. I'm sure you could find one maybe, but they're hard to find in vintage stores because they're that popular.
That was the same era as like the Bart Simpson, like No Way Man.
The shirts. MJ, when they were wearing the, he was wearing the Michael Jordan jersey. Yeah, those were cool as fuck too. Yeah. The Bart Simpson jersey.
The early Bart Simpson when he was like a totally different kid.
Yeah. Oh man, what a time the 90s
was. Eat my shorts?
Yeah, eat my shorts. Yeah. Damn. What a time.
Next question. This is from, let's go with Diego in Flagstaff, Arizona. He says, why do white men love model trains? I think there's an autism aspect to it.
I think anything that gets you away from your wife.
Oh, that's the answer. That's it.
They hate their wives.
That's
and
it.
They're like,
old white guys?
This is going to take me 6 weeks.
Yeah, white grandpas. Yeah. Spend a lot of time in the garage.
It's like golf. I didn't, you know, as a kid, I didn't understand golf. And now that I'm older, I love playing golf. And so my boys who are all married, they're like, it's the only time you get 3 hours away from the kids, from the wife.
Oh my gosh.
And you're just with the boys.
Yeah.
And they're like, and I suck at golf.
Yeah.
But we get to drink and smoke the entire
time. People
will
pay like $200 just to get away from their family.
Come on. That is what, and now that I'm older, I love being out there. I'm just like, it's just the fellas, man. We hanging and it feels like high school.
Yeah. That's model trains.
Model trains.
We had a guy, he, the old guy in our neighborhood, took it to the next level. He volunteered at the train museum downtown.
He's a pedophile.
No, he's a good man.
But that's a whole nother level. It's one thing to be in your garage.
No.
To go down there to be with the little kids. Like, and this.
He was a World War II veteran.
Cool.
He fought in China. And he told me one time, he goes, where'd you live in China? I'm like, oh, Suzhou. He's like, oh, I was on the Fuzhou River, which is what they used to call it in the old days. And he's like, yeah,
they changed the river's name.
No, like we just imposed all these names of cities on China. They weren't the actual real, like Canton, you know, Canton restaurants and stuff.
Oh yeah.
It actually means Guangdong. In China it's called
Guangdong.
Yeah, Guangdong.
But we just Americanized it.
Yeah, Suzhou where I lived, they called it Suzhou. So there's like some movie from the 90s where Brad Pitt and Robert Redford are trying to escape from the Fuzhou prison. Maybe even the 2000s. I'm like, it hasn't been called Fuzhou since like the 50s, dude. If you're going to make a movie, at least do research.
Gotcha.
And call it what it is. But anyway.
So Cantonese isn't a real thing.
Well, it's like what the British came in and called all these cities.
Yeah, fuck it then.
And really, it's called Guangzhou, Guangdong. Yeah.
Guangdong.
Yeah. And then they were like, we can't pronounce that. We're calling it Canton. It's like, why can't you pronounce Guangdong? Right. I don't know. What's right. Or Suzhou.
You don't Suzhou. Want to.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like it. So anyway, he was telling me that he was coming down the river in World War II because we supported the Chinese during that time. In World War II, we were allies with the Russians and the Chinese, right? Mm. So he gets sent to China to fight the Japanese.
Oh, man.
And he goes, dude, we're going down the river and there's the Chinese on one side and then the Japanese on one side, and the Taiwanese who were breaking away.
How'd you know who to shoot?
Well, he said he didn't. Oh, he goes, we just shot everybody.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I might have turned the pistol on the dude in the boat.
He was like, yeah. He was like, we didn't know what we were doing. So
how
we
do
shot.
I know you didn't infiltrate us right now?
Yeah. He was like, nervous.
He
had no idea.
I ain't going to lie. It's racist, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to be honest.
I sort of
I never would want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
I'm just spraying now.
That's what he did. Because we just were like, let it rip.
Jesus, that's a tough position.
He was like, I still kind of feel bad about it.
Is the Yangtze River actually called the Yangtze? Or
yeah. That's the Yangtze River.
That's what this type, Ping. That's what my mom's nickname for me.
What?
The story of Ping. My mom used to read it to me, and she used to say, you're my Ping. So the story of Ping is this domesticated duck in China, and they used to be on the Yangtze River, and every morning the fishermen would let out the ducks to roam the river.
Yeah.
And Ping was an explorer. And he always liked adventure. And one day he ventured too far off from the rest of the flock and he didn't get back in time for last call. So that whole night he went down the Yangtze River on different adventures. And at the end of the story, he comes back and gets with the rest of the flock and they let him in. And my mom's like, you're my Ping. You're my wandering
duck. Dude, we got to take you to the Yangtze River.
Yeah, so that's why.
You got to go to the actual
Everybody
river.
Thinks it's for golf, but no, my mom, that's my story.
That's,
my bedtime
I mean,
story.
Settled. We're going to China.
Thank you. That's what it took.
We're going to
I've been asking for weeks.
We're going to the Yangtze.
Yeah, Ping.
Okay. Even if we don't do a show, because I don't want to go to prison. We might do a show. We'll see how it goes.
I just want to go. I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go to Asia in general. And I have a cousin who lives in Japan, so I would like make it a full thing.
So where Ye is from, Suzhou is not far from the Yangtze River.
Really?
It's in the Yangtze River Delta. Like,
I gotta go. Yeah. It's my homecoming.
Done.
It's my Mecca.
Ping should be your Chinese name, too.
Oh, I'd love it. I mean, it's already on. Ping, baby. That's fire.
Next question.
Name him after a golf ball.
Hey.
The white man took that and named the golf ball after him.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you remember Norm MacDonald's joke? He goes, ping pong. He's like, little known fact, ping pong's the only sport ever named after its inventor.
Is that a little made up?
Completely made up. There's not a man in China named Ping Pong. Such a good joke.
Fun fact.
Such a good joke. Next question. Steve. I'm a white dude in Austin, Texas. He says, is black church really that fun like in the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Compared to white church, it's super fun.
It's so boring, white church.
I've been to white church. I've been to a Presbyterian church. And yeah. I've been to Catholic church. And
Catholic's
I ran, and let me tell you, I mean, as a kid, I still just was like, God, mom, because I grew up very religious.
Yeah.
So not only was I there on Sunday, I was there on Wednesday night for Bible study. I was there on Monday nights for choir rehearsal. I spent a lot of time in church. And even still, as much as I was like, this is so boring, I went to white church. I was like, I would probably be an atheist if I went
it's
to white
death.
Church.
Most white church is deaf. The Catholic Mass is the most boring thing.
Well, first of all, Catholic Mass is a workout. Stand up, kneel, stand. And the fucking, and the benches, even with the padding, are just so medieval.
Oh, it's like wood from the 14th
Knees
century.
Knees on fire.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's the same thing because we had to go. I went to Catholic high school, so we had once a month mandatory mass. Yeah. Used to be once a week. Thankfully, they shortened it to once a month. Even that was, it's the same program every week.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's slightly different is the sermon. Oh. But the order that they do everything,
And that was my biggest thing was the music. I was like, so y'all ain't got no music?
Rough.
And then who knows how to play an organ? They're literally playing the organ. It's like, black church, the music is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I went to non-denominational churches that were like half and half and with a white pastor.
Yeah.
And even still, the music was better.
Those are better.
They were playing acoustic guitar, but they had guitars, they had drums. So it's still a production.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then you go to Southern Baptist, like where I grew up and my grandma's, and it's great. But black church, it's always the music. You always got somebody catching the Holy Ghost and they running around.
Catching the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, man. And
what does that mean? The Holy Ghost jumps in them.
Yeah, yeah. And then they sprint. They start sprinting and running, and then they pass out. And then, you know what I mean? It's like.
Really?
Oh, they
and they have to get revived?
The pastor lays hands on them and they collapse.
And they wake up?
Yeah. Like 10 minutes later, they go down. They go down, yeah.
And then when they go down, because the pastor laid his hand, the Holy Ghost got into them. Is that like, is anyone giving them CPR?
No, they're not dead.
Yeah, but they're
breathing
out.
They collapse.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So there's no, like, do you need, like,
there's no defibrillators.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Clear. Bang.
They're not bringing out
they're
the pads.
Shocked, electrocuted?
No.
There's no ambulance?
No.
Because I would be concerned.
You turn them and just go down and start giving a woman mouth to mouth.
Everybody get
like,
over
whoa.
Yeah, some grandma.
The spirit of the Lord moved.
But what
her.
Happens if somebody actually does pass out?
Well, you wouldn't know to them
you
the
wouldn't
service.
Know. They're just dead people.
Yeah. And then the service is like, okay, Sister Jones, you can get up now.
And
she's just
like,
there. Yeah.
She's out. Yeah. She's done. She's cold.
She's gone home to glory.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ours was, so I grew up Methodist and then later on Presbyterian when we went, moved to New York. It's more fun. The Catholic's by far the most boring.
By far.
But, and then the Methodist, ours was, at least the guy had an acoustic guitar. But then we would go to San Francisco sometimes to Cecil Williams, and that's like a mixed church, you know?
Pastor was gay.
No, he was a black guy, like an old black guy. No, but a lot of the congregation was gay because it was San Francisco, and it was big deal because he was the first, he would let in gay people like in the 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was, the choir was on fire. It was the best.
Yeah.
But it was like mostly, I think it was a black.
See, even in my churches, no. I mean, now it's probably different. They're probably openly gay people, but you don't really see them, I don't think. But like it was a known thing in like black churches, like the choir director, the director of music was normally
clearly gay.
Yeah, but he would always say I was delivered. Like I no longer have a desire for men. And you're like, Brother Randall.
Oh, so they would admit I used to be gay.
I used to be gay,
I'm
but
not.
The Lord delivered me. And I'm like, I don't know if that's how
I don't
that
know
works.
If that exists.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't think I could ever be delivered from pussy.
Yeah.
So to get delivered from butthole
yeah.
would be like
that's hard.
It'd be tough.
That's difficult.
I think you're already in it.
No pun.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I feel like you're already in it. You know what I mean?
I think in San Francisco, it was just, what are you going to do? If you have church, you don't, you, well, the you thing don't is, include
the
gay
Bible,
people.
The Bible says you love everybody.
Who's
so,
even coming?
So that, I think that's where it became, it's like, you still need to accept these people. Like, I think, like, hardcore religion, that's why a lot of people turn away from religion. It's like, well, the Bible says love everybody, but you hate gays.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
It doesn't add up.
But at the same time, you also can't be in here, like, hand-jobbing dudes in the church.
True.
You know what I mean?
But you couldn't do that as a straight person. I mean, no, a lot of people hooked up at our church growing up, but it was after.
One of the first sexual encounters I had was in church. It was a lock-in.
Oh, yeah. Those were.
Oh, it was nothing but debauchery.
Did they try to do the lava pit?
What was that?
At our
what was that?
At our church, when they do the lock-ins, because they knew what they were doing, right? So they would, but they would try to say, all right. So they'd put like a line down the middle, maybe like 10 feet wide. The girls had to be on one side, the boys on the other side. They're like, that's it. It's a lava pit. If anyone goes in there, you're going to get burned by the Lord. So you can't go in. And then the second, like the adults would go to sleep, everybody would just start making out.
Oh, see, no, there was no lava pits. But they were like girls separate. They have to be separate. But yeah, the chick was, she was sleeping on one of the pews.
Yeah.
I had my sleeping bag on the floor beside the pew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in there.
But isn't that what they want anyway? I think they do that on purpose.
You think
they, because they want the, you, you're going to hook up anyway. They want you to hook up with someone in the church.
A Christian girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they didn't realize is the church girls were the freakiest motherfuckers that they even exist.
Yeah.
Church, just like the pastor's kid's always the worst kid.
Yeah.
Just like a cop's son is always, this preacher's son's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. The church girls are freaks.
Yes. 100%.
To this day, people like, to this day, even at our age, and when dudes come, they're like, you know where you go to find a woman? They're like, church. Because once all the reformed whores, they're like, I've changed my life. Like, you've had 38 dicks this week, so now it's time to give your life. They're still freaky. They're just like trying to be better.
Yeah.
You got to go to church and find the girl with that weird tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. The one with the tramp stamp. She's like, I was the property of a Hell's Angel, but now I found Jesus.
Yeah, they're like,
she's
it's like you. They're like, I've been clean for 21 days.
Yeah.
That's
delivered
how you know.
From dick.
That's how you know. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Cha-ching. This is my kind of church.
That's literally what it is.
They have sworn off men. Dude, yeah, okay.
I'd be in church now sometimes. I'd be like, damn, she fine. Like, you know, you'd be feeling
yeah, people
bad.
Get dressed up. They look nice.
Yeah, and the dress is fitting. Like, oh, she got some ass on her.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
I'm going to pray for her.
Phil, how long are, like, black churches, though? Aren't they, does it go for on
it
way
depends,
too long?
It depends. So the Southern Baptist, you're going to miss the football game.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no.
Because
no.
They start at 11. I remember service started at 11 and then like around 2:30.
And people put up with that? People aren't like, excuse me, there's a game.
Nobody.
Our pastor, Larry George, shout out, would tell the score of the 49ers game.
Oh, no, never.
He'd be like, hey, everybody will be done in 5 minutes. It's the end of the first quarter. Niners are up 7-0.
Never. No. Yeah. Our church, it was like, they were like, you can give your Saturday nights to the devil, but you can't give the Lord 3 hours on a Sunday. Mm. Oh, buddy.
But they couldn't start at 9, so you're out of there by 1.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they started at 11. Games are on what time on the East Coast?
They don't
1
care
PM.
Nothing about the game. Yeah, they don't care because they're like, there's another game after it.
That's rough.
Yeah, you can be in the club for 5 hours. You don't check the time.
I'll be honest.
Why can't you give the Lord who woke you up this morning?
I don't know if we would have gone to church if that was the issue. If that was, because ours is at 9, over at 10, but the game would start at 10. So sometimes on the West Coast, NFL starts at 10.
Oh my God.
So sometimes.
Football games start at 10 in the morning on the West Coast.
10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that. I've always lived on the East Coast.
That's why you can't live in L.A.
No, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, you have to wake up at 10
to watch football.
Yeah. Forget going to a game. Yeah. You have to be up at 8 a.m., 7 a.m.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's crazy.
I
never even thought about it.
So then the pastor would work quick to get you out of there.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Damn.
So it is more fun.
It is.
Sister Act is, I think, what everyone's...
Oh, happy day.
Pretty great movie.
What a great movie. When the kid...
Yeah.
When Jesus walked... That was the best.
He washed my prayers away.
Hey! He washed my sins
away.
When he hit that note, I was like, oh, man. That's the kid from City High for all the black people who know music. The guy, the lead singer of City High, what would you do if you're someone else? He was the kid from Sister Act.
And Lauryn Hill was in the second one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great movie. All right, should we do one more? Or we got to save one for Patreon. I don't know where we're at time.
No, we're good. I think we can end this,
we're
baby.
Good? All right. White Lies and Dark Truths, what do you got?
So we're talking about tattoos. I just looked up a couple more stereotypical tattoos. We forgot about the mom heart tattoo.
That was a white biker.
Oh, that was, or sailors almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, bikers, sailors.
Roses. Anchors,
yeah,
koi fish, howling wolves.
White people love gentrifying Japanese culture with the koi fish.
Oh, we forgot
fish.
About Asian lettering.
Asian. Yeah. Have no idea what it means. They're like, this means Chinese. Faith. And meanwhile, it was like, I suck big dicks.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of that. Unless, like, I had, like, a friend who spoke the language.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'd get something.
You want to make 100%
sure. But I'm
sure.
not going to trust the tattoo artist not to fuck with me.
Yeah.
Has Ye ever seen anyone that's like, that says, my balls smell like soup?
Oh yeah.
She's in
my
the other
balls
room.
Smell like soup.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one that worked out.
The
was...
Japanese one where they do like the Japanese like sun and people didn't realize that was like that was like the part time in Japan where they were like.
Oh, the World War II
yeah, they,
atrocities. Basically, it's like a Nazi symbol.
It's a Nazi symbol, but nobody knew that. So they'd get the flag with the stars and they'd be like, it's a Japanese culture.
The rising sun.
Yeah. And they were like, that is the worst thing
fascists.
You could ever have.
They were
like,
full
they were
on
literally
fascists.
Raping and killing babies.
In China.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. But that's why one of the white ones people didn't realize.
Yeah, these people aren't educated. Yeah. And then, the one that worked out though was Allen Iverson has like loyalty on his neck in Chinese.
Yeah.
And he is wildly popular in China. And I think that's a big part of it. Part of it's because he's short. And so Chinese people like short athlete, like basketball players. I'm not doing a bit here. It's true. Because they're like, oh, it's relatable.
And people don't realize Allen Iverson wasn't that short. He was 5'11", 6 foot. But to them,
well, compared to NBA
everybody,
players,
yeah,
he's 5'11", 6 foot. But then, and then having the loyalty tattoo was like, it was in Chinese. So they were like, he likes China. He has a Chinese tattoo. Yeah. And then the other one was Mike Tyson, who's also super popular in China, literally has Chairman Mao, the communist dictator from the 1970s,
on his
stomach, which is like a rough.
I wonder if he knew.
I don't think he totally understands the implications of Chairman Mao.
Bro, that's fucking amazing. Allen Iverson is the reason I want a tattoo. When I was a kid, I was like, I'm going to get sleeved up. I did a book report on Allen Iverson in third grade.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I put in where I cut out all the sports but I put my face on them. Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to be covered in tats. And then, I mean, I still probably will get sleeved up, but I slowed down a lot because at that time, tattoos were still kind of taboo, and I was like, this is so badass to have, like, that many tats. And then once tattoos became, like, a thing where everybody was tatted, it kind of, like,
I remember when I was a kid, there was just a rule. If a guy had a bunch of tattoos, especially sleeves, you just didn't, like, mess with them.
At all.
He could kick your ass.
Yeah.
But then it became, like, if a guy had a bunch of tattoos, you could probably kick his ass.
And that's where it became, like, even now with face tattoos, I'm like, that don't mean shit.
Yeah.
You know, I might whoop your ass because you're just a bitch, but you want to look tough.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's all about the person.
All right, anything else?
Yeah, we got, and also there's like snake tattoos, skulls, yin yangs, all
yin
that shit.
Yang, the yin yang tattoo is definitely a gentrified tat.
Yes.
Because people don't even really know the symbolism of yin and yang. Yeah. They're just like, oh, that's hard.
Yeah, it's just cool.
And then one last thing, you're talking about that Norm Macdonald joke, but if you guys want to know who actually invented ping pong.
Yes.
In 1890, Englishman David Foster, attracted by its wide appeal, introduced the first game of tennis on a table. And by 1897, the first national championships were organized in Hungary.
So he called it ping pong because that's how it sounded. It wasn't actually Asian?
Actually, I don't even know. That would be a good thing to look up.
Because Chinese people dominated ping pong.
They do. But they dominated everything they pick up.
Yeah, but ping pong, it's like almost like a national sport. Meaning, like, when I used to live out there on the, you know, the Olympics, you watch the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, and we, every time, everything we see is like swimming, basketball. It's what I realized when I was out there, they show us those because we're good at those. So they'll show you what you're good at because you're like, we're winning gold in everything. Well, in China, they show them what they're good at. So everything's diving and ping pong, and they win everything that's on TV, they're winning gold.
But they couldn't beat Forrest Gump.
They couldn't beat Forrest Gump. You're right. You're right.
Turner, you're right. Ping pong comes from the onomatopoeic sounds the ball makes by hitting the paddle in the table.
Oh, that's what Phil said.
Boom.
Yeah, nailed it.
Giving the white man credit yet again.
Look at that. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, everybody. That's the show. Patreon subscribers, stick around. We got one more bonus question for you.
Ping pong.
I think you're going to enjoy it. It's about animals being racist. And that's just a tease. Everybody, if you want to hear it, go to patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice. Sign up right now. $5 a month. And not only that, but you'll get in free to our show at the New York Comedy Club on May 22nd. Or if you don't live in New York, we're going to release it just to the Patreon subscribers. So how about that? Everybody else, stay black.
Stay black, bitch.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with AutoPay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.